For our message today, I thought I would share with you that it's generally my practice to set aside Monday nights. It's kind of my transition from one week after a busy Sunday to prepare for the next Sunday. And in preparing for the next Sunday, I seek what scriptures he would have for me. I seek what scriptures he would have me teach on. Maybe it's in the Bible study or the scriptures that he would have me to preach on. And so he gives those to me. Sometimes it's clear on what he wants me to preach on. Sometimes I get the scripture and that gives me the week to work through it. Now this past week, I had something I had to go to on Monday, so I ended up doing it on Tuesday. So God gave me the scripture that we're going to read first, and it's from Ephesians 4:17 through 32. Ephesians 4, if I can find it there myself, Ephesians 4:17 through 32. And you're like, well, that's interesting. And I was like, I'm not exactly sure. What, Lord, do you want me to do with that scripture? But he gave it to me. And so I kind of take that and reread it. But just preceding that passage is another passage of scripture, which is Ephesians 4:11 through 16. So what we're going to do is we're going to read to you the scripture the Spirit, I think, gave me earlier in the week on Tuesday. And I'm just going to read it to you. And let the Holy Spirit do what he wants to do with that scripture. And so I want you to listen to the Holy Spirit as he speaks to you, because in that passage of scripture, there are numerous amount of messages. But in the moment that you are in right now, the Holy Spirit might have a message to you from that particular scripture. But I'm going to trust the Holy Spirit and we'll read that scripture, and then we will come back to the Ephesians 4:11 through 16. So, let's read Ephesians 4:17 through 32 together. We'll be reading from the New King James Version as we do each week. This I say, therefore, and testify in the Lord, that you should no longer walk as the rest of the Gentiles walk, in their futility of their mind, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the blindness of their heart, who being past feeling have given themselves over to lewdness, to work all uncleanliness with greediness. But you have not so learned Christ, if indeed you have heard him and have been taught by him as the truth is in Jesus, that you put off concerning your former conduct the old man, which grows corrupt according to the deceitful lusts, and be renewed in the spirit of your mind, and that you put on the new man, which was created according to God in true righteousness and holiness. Therefore, putting away lying, let each one of you speak truth with his neighbor, for we are members of one another. Be angry and do not sin. Do not let the sun go down on your wrath, nor give place to the devil. Let him who stole steal no more longer, but rather let him labor, working with his hands what is good, that he may have something to give him who has need. Let no corrupt word proceed out of your mouth, but what is good for necessary edification, that it may impart grace to the hearers. And do not grieve the Holy Spirit of God, by whom you were sealed for the day of redemption. Let all bitterness, wrath, anger, clamor, and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice. And be kind to one another, tender-hearted, forgiving one another, even as God in Christ forgave you. May God add his blessing to the reading of his word, and may the Holy Spirit speak to you out of that passage of Scripture for whatever purpose he had me deliver that to you. Again, he gave that to me on Tuesday. But since then, I have looked and I am going to expound now. We will preach from Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. It's in that same section, but it's before. And so let's read from that passage. We'll just turn back to Ephesians 4, 11 through 16. And thank you for bearing with us as we read from God's Word. Verse 11. And he himself gave some to be apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. For the equipping of the saints, for the work of ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ. Till we all come to the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God, to a perfect man, to the measure of the stature of the fullness of Christ, that we should no longer be children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the trickery of men and the cunning craftiness of deceitful plotting, but speaking the truth in love may grow up in all things unto him who is the head, Christ, from whom the whole body joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love. Again, may God add his blessing to the reading of his word. In this passage of Scripture, Paul talks to specific roles in the church. He talks about those that are pastors. He says some in verse 11, apostles, some prophets, some evangelists, some pastors and teachers. Now, if you would go to 1 Corinthians, you'd find that he expounds on more information around the different gifts and things that take place. Paul will tell about some that have the gifts of administration. Some have the gifts of helps. What this means is there's some that are very good at being very welcoming, and some are very good about organizing and constructing things. And everyone has their different things that they do. But there are multiples of ministries. See, I am to those of this church a pastor, but to those that would hear me, I am the preacher. And oftentimes that's lumped together in the term minister. Yes, I am a minister, but we all should be ministers, not maybe ministers like I am, but if you are cleaning the church, you are fulfilling a ministry. And it talks about how we all working together work together for the edifying of the church. We do our particular parts, our different particular aspects, and it's that working together. You know, you'll find in other scriptures, and it talks about that, you know, I have a hand, I have an ear, I have a nose. They're all different, but they're all important. And so we work together in those different ministries, in those different roles. And you can probably think of different ministries in the church that are ministries. I know right now you're hearing me through the microphone, and there are people back working the AV, which is a ministry, which I'm very grateful for those that do that. But there are several types of ministries, and you may be involved in multiple ministries. And the ministry of God is broader than just this group. It's the body of Christ. We minister. And our ministries change over time. And there's phases of ministry. You might go through phases of ministry where you are preparing for a ministry. Now, preparing for a ministry can take several forms. It may be that God has given you smaller things, and over time, he trains you to take on larger things. And other times, you might be having to take education and formal training to prepare for the ministry. Sometimes tough times prepare you for the ministry that have you have. But there are phases of ministry. There's a preparation phase. And then there's the ministry in a particular ministry phase. But also, God changes our ministries. And so then there's transitions in ministries. Sometimes the transitions is that He is taking what He has prepared you and given you more ministries. He transitions you to the next ministry. So He releases you from one so that you can take on the next. I have been a minister in multiple congregations, in multiple roles. Now, I've done multiple roles, some of them as a pastoral role and some of them as non-pastoral roles in different parts of the country. And when those have taken place, there have been times when God has released me from one ministry. And that means He has allowed me and let that burden go, and He presents me a new burden. Now, I'm not released from here. I'm staying here. But what I'm saying to you is from my experience to share, maybe it'll be enlightening to yours, that He releases me from one to take me to the other. But sometimes in that transition, some of the ministries can be very hard. I have been in ministries that I was constantly almost at war, as it were, with the enemy and in battle. And it was very difficult. And whether I thought I was okay or not, I was coming out of that one ministry and God was going to move me to the next one, but in that phase He gave me a time of repair, rejuvenation. I don't know if I knew how worn out I was. It's like going after a sporting event, you know, you have to give time to recover. Or maybe for those of you that have ever played an instrument that you have to blow into, sometimes you got to give your lips a break. You got to recover. I used to play at basketball games on a trumpet, and we would play in between, and I was always fretting because I didn't leave enough time to be able to play the Star Spangled Banner. You just don't want to blow the Star Spangled Banner because, especially when you're in a small group, everybody's going to hear it. I needed more recovery time. But in ministry, I needed a recovery time. I have been there. You need recovery. You need time to shift. Sometimes time to retrain. And then sometimes for God to prepare that next ministry. So there's phases that you go through in ministry. And you should all be involved in some kind of ministry, understanding that there are those phases a ministry that we all work together for. But sometimes He releases us from one without explaining the next. And it leaves you in a quandary, and it's in those times we have to trust Him. And in those times that we've been through battle and we require refreshing and renewal and repair, we need to allow Him to do that. To be patient with ourselves and to learn. And sometimes He's resting us to prepare us for maybe something even more challenging, because some of our ministries have to do with our phases of life. Sometimes we come out of ministry because of our health. Some of you maybe have gone through dire health situations or situations where a time of great mourning or and your own health has brought you to the point that you just can't do ministry. You can barely stand up. And so Lord brings you through that, but that time period allows you to understand. And through that time period, when you see someone going through what you're going through, you can become a minister to them, and you can minister through that and say, I know what it's like to be in that situation. I know what it's like to feel that way. And I'm here to tell you that God will help you through that. And God can help you through it. But you got to trust in Him. And so through those times, we see through them and we trust in God. Sometimes we prepare and God might even clear the decks because it comes time that we have to minister to a loved one and take care of a loved one that's seriously ill. As part of the phases of life, it could be a parent, it could be a spouse, it could be someone else from family, and we have to care for them. That's a ministry. The ministry is not just here, its ministries can be wherever, but it's part of the body of Christ, and it is important that we do that. So we go through these phases of ministry, but we also do the phases of life. And so God walks us through those different phases. And it's an adjustment because sometimes we don't want to move out or move in or allow Him to help us, to allow us to recover or allow us to train us, or sometimes to even shift our ministries, because it can be a scary thing. And sometimes, you know, God is calling you to do something and it scares you to death. But you're very confident. You've seeked God's will and you know that is what He wants you to do, but you have not resigned yourself to it. You've resisted it. And that resistance makes it more difficult, but when you say, "Yes, Lord," it just goes easier. Not that it might not be hard, it might not be scary, but see, when we trust God for the thing that scares us, then it allows Him to work through us to do, well, the things that only He can do. Because by ourselves, we're limited. And so then through this hard ministry, we learn how to trust in Him, because down the road there might be a harder ministry where God can use us. But we have to trust Him in the transitions. We have to trust Him in the phases of life. And we have to understand that our ministry is sometimes beyond us, beyond these walls. It's maybe a ministry in the community. Maybe it's a ministry to our family. You know, and after you've ministered to family, there's a time of recovery. And then get back into ministry. Maybe you can't do all the things you did before. Maybe you have a prayer ministry. We battle not against flesh and blood, it says. But prayer is also a ministry. It's not just, you know, the normal, "Thank you, Lord, for this food, bless it to our bodies" kinds of prayer. This is where people, they have a ministry of prayer. But in different phases of life, we do different things. So find that ministry. Accept the ministry God has for you. Accept the phases that you are in and allow God to move those around. But always seek His will. Allow Him to train you, to comfort you, to stretch you, and even to pull you into something that you never thought you would be asked to do. Never thought you could do, because, you know, maybe you can't. But through God, what does it say? All things are possible. If we're in His will, that's where we just have to be, in His will. And so it shifts and it turns. But see, we look again in that scripture, what did it say? Let's look at Ephesians 4:16, if we could have that one up. Maybe it's up already, I don't know. "From whom the whole body, joined and knit together by what every joint supplies, according to the effective working, by which every part does its share, causes growth of the body for the edifying of itself in love." And the body is bigger than these walls. The body of Christ is bigger. And so, do ministry. Prepare for ministry, rest for ministry, but just always be in the center of God's will. Be in the center of God's will. Conduct yourself in the center of God's will. May the Lord help you this morning to receive what He has from you. You got two messages today. Now, the message you got from the Holy Spirit in the first passage of Scripture is probably better than the message that I just gave you. Because it's the Word of God. It does not return to him void. But maybe the Holy Spirit enabled you to get something from the second message. Or maybe them together. We are many different people, and different people will hear this message. And may the Lord find you where you are at, and may you be obedient to what he's asking you to do. Let's be standing together. Father and our God, we ask that this morning that you would allow us to draw in the Holy Spirit, as it were. Lord, while you are present in our hearts, hopefully, we have allowed you to not only be present, but full in our hearts. But may we take a deep breath of your presence this morning. May we breathe in, as it were, the confidence of knowing we're right with God. May we bring in that peace that you have for us, that it's settled. There's nothing wrong between me and the Savior. And may you help us to embrace our ministry. Help us to embrace the phases of ministry that you have us in. Help us to embrace the ministry you're calling us to or releasing us from. And let us allow you to manage the process. And help us, Lord, to hear from you and how we work through that. Help us to be obedient to that. We thank you for each thing that you do for us. We thank you for your faithfulness, your preparation. Help us, Lord, to just be obedient to you. In Jesus' name, amen.